and closing doors in the spirit realm. So I'm going to try and make this really kind of practical and down to earth, and so you can grab a hold of this. Okay. So one of my passions is to see the outworking of what God ordained or God intended in our lives. Okay. So what I want us to look at are the doors that are currently open that shouldn't be open, and the doors that are closed that should be open. Okay? So are we happy to start with a starting point that we have the capacity to open and close doors? I'm happy to start with that. Okay. So I'm not going to go and get some scriptures out and show you. Okay. So we're happy that we have the capacity to open and close doors. Okay. We've talked about an absolute requirement in the last two sessions. Mike talked about the absolute requirement of unity and agreement for doing things in the spirit. Okay. So let's first of all, I look at various scenarios. The first thing I'm going to look at is the bench of three. The second thing I'm going to look at is building team. And then the third thing I'm going to look at is the dynamic when others come and join. Okay. So because I'm wanting to give you practical hands on how to function. Okay. So let's imagine that you have a bench of three. And you have agreed in that bench of three that nothing gets done unless there is unity. Okay? And one of the bench of three has decided to do something that you're not in unity about. I'm sure this would never happen, of course. But let's just imagine. Okay. So what I want to do is I want to show you the difference in that one situation between two different responses. Okay. So the one response will actually fix the problem. The other response will inflame the problem. Okay. So the first thing that has happened is that that person who has done that thing has actually dishonored the other two people on the bench. Would you agree with that?
Yeah.
Okay. So the first thing you're going to do is you're going to close the door to that dishonor. Okay? Because what's happened is you have a bench of three that have equal authority in the spirit to open and close things, to come in and come out from that ministry or center or ecclesia or whatever you're doing. Okay? So by that person doing what they did, that person who you have given authority to has released dishonor to you. So that has opened the door to dishonor into that space. Okay? Now, you get to decide whether that door stays open or stays closed. And you get to decide that by how you behave. It would be so much easier if you could just legislate something. But at this point in time, now your emotions are involved with this. Your soul is very much part of this process. Okay? So for those of you who still kind of trying to get to that place of dividing soul and spirit and living from the place of your spirit, that, I mean, this is why that I don't even want to call it a teaching, because it's not a teaching, it needs to be a lifestyle. But when we live in that place, it becomes so easy to deal with these things, because our soul is not rampaging at that point in time, because our soul is actually being dictated to by our spirit. Our spirit is being ministered to by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit sees no problems. The Holy Spirit only sees solutions. And you only panic when there's a problem. You don't panic when there's a solution. Okay? So when you're living in that place of divided soul and spirit, and your soul lives under your spirit, and your spirit is dictating who you are and how you function, and your spirit is being fed by the Holy Spirit, there's just solutions. There's just freedom. There's just wonder. Okay, but let's imagine for a moment you haven't quite got there. So now this thing has happened, and your soul is rampaging, and you've got to make a decision about how you're going to move forward. The key is to release honor. So what you're going to do is you're going to go to that person, that member of your bench, and in a loving and affirming manner, you're going to honor them for what they did. Because let's face it, you didn't choose that person to be on your bench because they're out to get you. You chose that person because God had said, and you'd come into agreement with it because this is somebody I can work with, and this is somebody who has my back. So your instant response is to be to give the person the benefit of the doubt. So when you come and you release honor in exchange for dishonor, what you're doing is you're closing the door. When you release dishonor, what you're doing is you're opening up the other side of that door and saying, come on in here and rampage my place. So we need to understand the dynamics that take place in the spirit realm so that we can stop the carnage that actually we invite, because we don't know how to deal with things when people make mistakes. Because, hey guys, I know we're all perfect, but we're going to have to work with some imperfect people somewhere along the way. So one of the things that I'm really trying to kind of break through with people is moving from that place. You know, I can't tell you how many times I encounter this. So you'll sit down with somebody and we'll start to have a conversation. So I can see some stuff and I'll go, okay, so this is what I can see. Oh, yeah, I know that. I'm like, no, you don't. You've heard it. You can tell me a theory about that thing. You don't know it. Because if you knew it, we wouldn't be having this conversation. We're having this conversation because although you know it, you don't know it. And there is a big difference between knowing it and knowing it. In the same way as we have to move from knowing God to knowing Him. Because over here, this is knowing about Him. This is knowing Him. So when it comes to dealing with specific situations, then I've kind of given you a practical example. Yeah? Okay. So let's imagine. Okay, let's move on to team. Okay, so we've dealt with Avenger 3.
Can I just ask, when you say release honor,
yeah,
what do you mean? What would you do?
Okay, so, excellent. Good job. Okay, so the very first thing you do is on the end. This is the biggest battle. Okay, because we can pretend till the cows come home. Okay, and pretends doesn't work in the kingdom. So, on the inside of you, what you do is you deal with your irritation that that person has gone against what was agreed. You deal with whatever it is that's happening on the inside of you.
Offense.
Sorry?
Taking offense.
Taking offense. What if there's a whole myriad of ways in which we could respond. Okay, so sometimes as Avenger 3, what's going to happen is you are going to have to pick up the pieces. So as a bench, you made a decision, somebody went against that decision, potentially there could be ramifications in that, and suddenly you've now got time allocated to fix it, something that should never have, you know, you just think about all the realities of life when you're running things, okay? So the first thing you do is you deal with you on the inside and you take you to the Lord, okay? The reason why relationship is so fundamental for kingdom living is the following, okay? So Trevor and I are on a bench together, okay? We've agreed that he's not going to go and buy a car with the company money, okay? And so he's passing the showroom one day, and of course it wouldn't just be in any showroom, it would be a Jag or a Merc, yeah, okay? And he pops in, and before you know it, he's bought a car. So he comes back, chuffed as anything, keys in hand, so excited, let me take you for a ride in the new car we own. Okay. So, because I have a relationship with Trevor, it is actually much easier for me to go and look at his heart. Because that's where the Lord's going. He's going to his heart. Because that's actually what matters in the kingdom. He's going to his heart. So I'm going to go to his heart and I'm going to go, I am so irritated about this car. Because, you know, I'm going to be real. I'm so irritated about this car. There isn't the finance for this car. And tra-la-la-la-la-la-la. But I absolutely know that when Trevor walked past that showroom, his thought was not, oh my goodness, this is really going to enrage that woman. I'm going to buy a car. Do you see where I'm going with this? Okay. So I go to his heart and I see, actually, do you know what? I've also made mistakes. It could have been me. Obviously not in a car showroom, but you know, it could have been me. I could have been buying something that I thought was an absolute imperative. New coffee machine. We need a new coffee machine. You know, it could have been me. So because that's why relationship is so important, because when I go to the heart of the matter, I can go, do you know what? It was not a good thing to do. But actually, his intention was not to hurt me. So I'm going to choose to look at that. Because that's where the Father goes. So I'm going to choose to look at that intention and I'm going to go, okay, not the best decision we've made as a bench. So that's the first thing that actually releases honor, is to engage with that and become part of that decision. That's not the best decision we've made. As opposed to, what was he thinking making that decision when we agreed not to? I've now come in and I'm covering his nakedness effectively. Do you understand that? Now suddenly, there's something that takes place in the spirit where my honor covers his apparent dishonor. Because even though it wasn't an intentional dishonor, in that he didn't, this will show that woman, you know, but there was a dishonor because we did come into agreement. Just understand what I'm saying. Okay. So I immediately buy into this situation. That's what Jesus does for us, guys, all the time. So if we are pressing in to look like Jesus, if we are pressing in to carry that authority where people mistake us in the street for him, that's where we're going with all of this, if we will be so bold as to push into it. If people will mistake us for him, we have to start behaving like him. We have to start living like him. That's what he does for us. He buys into our mess, and he covers our mess, and he fixes our mess. Because that's who he is. And that's what relationship looks like. And that's what governmental relationship looks like. So what has happened is a door was opened in the spirit for anything, for all sorts of dishonor to come at the bench by a member of the bench. But another member of the bench has closed that door.
Wow.
And kept everything safe. Do you see that? Okay, Ross.
So, I'm somebody who, in the past, speaks before I think. So I'm just thinking, if I could have responded, what? And then suddenly realised, can I undo that expression of exasperation?
Okay, so there is always redemption.
Yeah.
Okay, so it depends how quickly. You can, even in the exclamation.
What a good idea.
Exactly. Exactly. Okay, so for the length of time that door stays open is the length of time that stuff can come at you as a ministry. Okay? So actually, what you don't want to do is be brooding about this and saying to yourself, actually, I know I've got to forgive him and I know I've got to release on it to him, but I'm not ready for that because I just need my moment of irritation and I'm going to have to look in my diary and see how much harder I'm going to have to work to pull in the repayments for that car because... Okay. While all of that's going on, the back door's standing wide open for anybody to come in and completely destroy what you've spent 3 years building. Okay? Okay, Colin.
Jesus had a bench of 12, didn't
he? He did.
But he quite often rebuked them.
Okay, so let's just look at what happens when he rebukes you.
No, I'm talking about, he was it a different dynamic? Because he rebuked Peter and said, get behind me, Satan. He very often said, oh, ye of little faith, this is that which they command.
Yes. But on the bench of three, you haven't got one of you as Jesus and one of you as a disciple.
So it's a different dynamic.
It's a completely different dynamic. It would be like Jesus rebuking the Father. Because that's the bench of three. Okay, can I ask you? Yours is Letitia, is it?
I was meant to ask if you can you then comfort the person like nicely, ask them what led to do it after you have covered them. Then you have the peace to actually talk to them.
Yeah.
Instead of you or do you
okay.
cover them a little bit?
Okay, so when you have that conversation, the key is, are you looking for a justification or are you looking for a solution? Because when you've bought into the problem, now there's no blame to be apportioned because you're part of the blame. Okay? So if you're still saying, yes, I forgive you, but what were you thinking? You're still in that place of looking for a justification. Okay? The absolute honor is, okay, we have got ourselves into this mess. How are we going to get out of it? Okay? So what we are used to doing is we're used to functioning as individuals and being individually responsible for things. If we are going to have a corporate authority, there has to be a corporate responsibility. Which then means that I'm yoked to you and your problems become my problems. I always get to teach all the stuff that nobody wants to hear. Sorry?
What if it's intentional?
Okay, so if it's intentional, then actually you've got a bigger problem on your hand than a Mercedes.
Okay.
Yeah. So you deal with the problem and then you deal with the issue on the bench. Yeah? Okay. So what I'm not saying is that you just have to take anything that's constantly dished out. Okay, a time will come when you're going to sit down and go, hang on, this is not working. We have to find a different way of doing this. Okay, but what I'm showing you is it is like a marriage. That's what he's calling us to. He's calling us to that level of covenant relationship to function in full sonship. To see established on earth as it is in heaven. So that we are no longer just responsible for me. I only have to worry about what I'm doing. And covering each other's nakedness is part of what we do in a marriage. So in the context of kingdom, we need to get used to covering each other's nakedness. But not covering each other's nakedness publicly, so when we go into a bench of three meeting, I can maul you. Do you know what I mean? Because actually, what we're having to do is we're having to build an environment where there is absolute transparency, absolute vulnerability. I have to look at the possibility that you are going to betray me. And it's got to be okay with me. I'm not saying I'm not going to feel anything. I'm saying it's going to be okay with me. Because at the end of the day, the only way that mature sonship can function is in a level of maturity where we are unstoppable. So if you're about to go into a bench with anybody and in the back of your mind you think the deal breaker is, if you have a deal breaker, don't make the deal. Because, you know, the Bible talks about you don't build a house without counting the cost. Okay. Actually, if you're not going to fulfill your destiny, enjoy your life. Sun yourself and, you know, do the thing, whatever you want to do. But there's going to be nothing more frustrating than half your destiny. And so you never really got anything. You never got a full measure of anything. You never got your destiny, but you never got to live what you wanted either. But this season that we're in is a phenomenal season for sonship. It is just the most exciting time in history to be alive because of the potential of the level to which we are getting the revelation of what is beyond the veil. And beyond the veil is pre-sin. And the biggest issue is that actually we have a sinful mindset, so we can't see beyond sin. Which is why it's so important to engage in the heavenly realms. So the four faces, the man is pre-fall Adam. If you want to have revelation of what it looks like pre-sin, have an encounter with him. Because there's no sin there. And so you get to see the fullness of everything that you can have. Anyway, I digress. Okay, so we did the bench of three. So now we're going to move to team. So you both, yes.
Can I just ask a quick question? What you were describing there about opening and shutting doors in relation to them, surely that would apply to every relationship?
Absolutely. And this is what I'm wanting to do. I'm wanting to push, I want you to start there because in each forum we could possibly have a different mindset around that. Okay, so in the context of the bench, we've established that we're all equal. Okay, and so I'm saying, so this is how we function. Okay, now I want us to look at in the context of team. So you have a bench of three, and then around you, you have a team, or you know, however you want to have whatever other benches you have. Okay, so in the context of team, you want to empower those people that the Lord has called to work with you in your team as much as you can, okay? And you can only empower them within, or they can only be empowered within your governmental sphere according to the level of authority you will release to them.
Give me a hard one. I've been in churches where some of the, let's call it the bench of three straight leadership, let's just call it the standard leadership model. They have, something's happened that's quite significant, whether it's adultery or whether they've, just some kind of things happened and publicly everyone's heard about it. And they've had to step down. And in most cases, these individuals haven't come back into, let's say, sonship, or into a kind of a full, loving relationship again with Father.
Mm-hmm.
So if you were in a bench of three,
mm-hmm.
and one of your members has been conceiving for years something that was quite significant, how would you deal with that? And how would it be, would it be any different to how, say, the standard, the pioneer, vineyard, Bethany,
okay.
whatever, the way they deal with new
yeah.
wine, you know, the whole, the way they generally deal with that is the level of authority that person had parking that idea and concept of authority to one side, everybody would hear about it. So how would you deal with that in Adventure 3?
Okay, so let's take adultery. Okay. So adultery will open a door to sexual sin. Okay. Now, I have a choice. So I'm on Adventure 3, and let's not be gender specific. The lady that I'm with, rather than point to all the men, the lady that I'm with on the bench is having an affair with somebody. Okay. I have got to make a decision as to how to close that door. Okay. And in the context of that instance where it's a one-off thing, it's completely...
Can I add, in this case, it would be similar to Freedom Church. It's not... It's Adventure 3 that's governing
a region. Yeah. Okay. Region, yeah.
A community of 2,000 that are aware of Adventure 3.
Okay. Okay. So what I'm wanting to say is there's a difference between a one-off merc and a everyday dalliance. Okay. So that's the first thing. The first thing I want to make. The second thing is, my response to that would be to go to the Father and say, because actually, I can go to Trev's heart and say, he didn't want to cause this issue. This wasn't intentionally going to about hurting me, okay? But with this lady who's now fallen in love with another man, regardless of her heart, no amount of me releasing honor is actually going to close that door when tomorrow night and the next night and the next night she's going to engage in this sexual thing. Okay? So that's the first thing I want to say, is that it's not a simple way of closing that door other than to move that person out of the authority that's been given to them. Because that's the only way you can close that door. Because what you're saying is, If that person comes to me and says, okay, done deal, finished, I'm not going to see that man again, then actually you can do that same thing. You can close that door. I wouldn't try and hide it. I'd bring exposure, because as soon as you try and hide something, and when you bring exposure, you risk all sorts of fallout. Okay, which is why it's really important that the bench handles it well, because the best that the bench does will have the impact on it not having that level of fallout. But there is the thing about these kind of sins is that the reason why the Lord says don't do it is not because he wants to stop us having fun. It's because he doesn't want the fallout from it. You see, so if the person is going, absolutely, actually, he's getting on a plane tomorrow and he's going to Barcelona and I'm never going to see him again, okay, we can deal with that. If not, then actually that's a whole other issue that you have to deal with. You have got to close that door, because I understand that you're looking at that person and saying, that person's never come back from that place. Well, what about the lion that's going to come through, or the wolf that's going to come through that door and ravage all the people that you're responsible for because you haven't closed that door? Do you understand? So sometimes you have to look at that and go, actually, that was your choice. And in a perfect world, we could make it work for everybody. But actually, if you are prepared to say, this is a done deal, we can make it work, we can close that door, we can keep everyone safe. So it's got, it also depends on the choices of the people involved. I think the biggest danger is trying to protect people from information. Absolutely. Well, this is not my community, but in my community, I would tell people. So this is what, and in fact, we had a situation, not an adultery situation, but we had a situation where two people came in with the sole purpose of hijacking the ministry. And it was a very painful thing to walk through. And some people didn't actually come out of that. Some people left as a result of that. But actually, we were upfront all the time. And we had group sessions where these people could... It actually was the most amazing thing that happened. Because in all of the muck, what happened was the people who were left saw the damage. And they recognized that those people came in and they, excuse the analogy, but they came and they decided to poo on our carpet, effectively, to a point where actually nobody wanted to come into that place because that place was full of poo. But to start with, they thought this was fun. We'll all just have a little poo party. And then it got too late and suddenly everyone's covered in poo and nobody wants to be here anymore. Well, let me tell you, those very people that wallowed in the poo, they guard that door. That is not going to happen again in a hurry because they see what was nearly lost because of what happened. Do you understand?
I mean, it is a difficult situation, but I always look at what happened to David as king. God didn't remove his kingship. But restored him, and actually he still is in the New Testament seen as a man after God's own heart and who fulfilled the purpose of God in his generation. So I think restoration, reconciliation, and redemption of every situation must be the goal. But David recognized the brokenness of his heart and dealt with it. He didn't carry on doing that. It was dealt with and then he moved on. If you keep on doing it, then obviously that door has to be closed from the point of view of that person is no longer operating within the constructs of the relationship that you've established in government and everything else. I mean, none of these things are obviously easy. And the thing would be to get a heavenly solution. That may not be what the earthly solution is obviously going to be. I mean, we had a situation like this with someone who was looking to come against what we were teaching. He was challenging me publicly in our meetings and various things because he didn't like the fact that I was teaching about communion and not having to die and stuff like that. So, you know, so okay. So we went through the process. Well, come and talk to us. Well, let's explain. Let's talk to you. Didn't want to do that. Started to... You know, talk to everyone else. And I felt quite challenged by that. And it was just like, well, we've given him every option to do what's right and he's chosen not to. We've got every right biblically to stop him. Well, fortunately, we didn't do that. And Nigel and Becky basically, I said, well, you need to find a solution here because it's basically, I don't think I would come up with the right one right now. So they engaged God, and actually they saw that this was a political spirit in operation, and this political spirit wanted to be proved right. So it wanted an argument, it wanted us to argue with it and confront it and shut it down, because then it would kick off even more. So the solution they got from heaven, and I was in total agreement with when they brought it, was, well, we were going to make a clear statement of what we believed, and we weren't going to argue. So we weren't going to sanction the person, kick him out, you know, put him on warnings or whatever. We were just going to say, this is what we believe. And we refer to our previous statement. This is what we believe. That's it. We're not going to go into it because we're not going to argue with the political spirit and give it opportunity. So this went sort of around, and eventually the person basically, God moved them. And as they moved them, we were able to pray for them when they were released and bless them on their way, because we didn't sort of say, well, no, you've stepped outside of our government, therefore you need to be out of the church. That wasn't the solution. The solution came out of heaven. Now, I would have never come up with that solution unless I went into heaven and got it, and I wasn't in the place to do it. So I didn't. But Nigel Becky did. Yeah. And that actually solution solved the problem. I would have never seen that from a biblical perspective, because basically he was confronting our authority. He was not doing things the right way. He was not following the procedures that you should do. And we could have legitimately, on a biblical basis, said, well, actually, we believe that we need to put you outside of the church because you're not actually part of the church in the way you're operating. But we didn't, and God dealt with it. So in all these things, there is the biblical answer that you can get through scripture. There is the reasonable action that you could come up with from your own solutions, and there's a heavenly solution. And the heavenly solution may be totally contradictory to what you might want to do in the flesh or even biblically, but it will be the right one. And that will be different in every situation. And even if you had three situations were exactly the same, each one of those situations could be different. Because God has the solution. But what we have to do is obviously maintain the right heart. So in my situation, I was being attacked. The first thing I had to do is make sure I chose to forgive and release that person and did not hold it against them. Even though I was feeling somewhat attacked, you know, I didn't make it personal in the sense, and I chose to forgive and release, and it was just like, okay. But ultimately, every situation does have a solution. If the person obviously is willing to comply, you can sort that out and be reconciled and have a problem. In this situation, that person wasn't willing, but God dealt with it anyway. You know, and eventually they were able to move. Now, if we had sort of said, right, okay, well, I think goodbye, it's not really the place for you, they would have basically been able to say, well, they don't let you to have different ways of thinking there, they're controlling, they wouldn't let me have my own opinion, I couldn't say what I thought, or whatever else. You know, and what we were saying is actually, look, you can have whatever opinion you want, but please don't do it publicly and cause a fuss. Because it doesn't really matter what he believed. I was quite happy for him to believe what he believed. He didn't have to believe the same as me. But the way it's done, I think, closed the door on everyone else getting involved in having this political maneuvering going on. And that was solved. But the next time there could be a different solution. You've got to get one every time. That's the thing. All this, everything we do, you need a heavenly strategy every time. Not just, well, this is at work last time.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so now what I want to do is I want to look at team. That's where we had got to. Okay, so you've got your bench of three and you've got a team around you. And the bench of three carry the governmental authority of heaven for that group. Okay, so what, as a bench of three, what you want to do is you want to empower the people who God has called to work around you. Okay, so the first thing I'm going to say is they are not perfect. Okay, so they are going to make mistakes. So you need to already recognize that, okay? Because very often what happens is, for fear of you doing something, for fear of you making me look bad, I'm not going to empower you. I'm happy for you to serve the tea and make the cakes and whatever. You know, I'm happy to create a little realm for you where you can feel like you've got something to do. But I'm actually not going to empower you to move in who we are because, well, it might go to your head. And, well, you know, who knows? You might go out there and start talking to people and then they'll think that's what I'm teaching and or whatever. Okay. So if we are going to function in the true blueprints that the Father has for us, we have to fully empower those he calls to walk alongside of us, knowing that actually at some point you're going to pick up the pieces and it needs to be okay with you, because that's what leadership looks like. Leadership is not keeping it all together and making it look good. Leadership is picking up the pieces and making the person feel good while you're picking up the pieces. That's what leadership looks like. Colin.
Doesn't that pose a question when you're ministering to other people and you've got a responsibility towards that?
Well, it depends whose responsibility it is.
Well, say you're doing a ministry for healing.
Yeah. So I give all responsibility to the Lord.
And they're saying things and doing things which are just not good.
Mm-hmm.
And causing, not intentionally.
Yeah.
So surely you have to take responsibility for
that. No.
What, you just let them loose?
I do, yeah. Because actually, if you govern properly...
But in certain ministries, you'd be closed down.
Absolutely you would. But in our ministry, you wouldn't. Because actually, what we're trying to do is we're trying to grow sons.
Yeah, you're talking about your ministry, but there are others as well. So that doesn't always hold.
No, I'm not talking about that you going into another ministry and behaving like this. I'm talking about what you build. What you build and establish according to kingdom patterns. That's what I'm trying to put out there. Okay. So what I'm asking you to do is I'm asking you to take no responsibility. I'm telling you, I'm such a heretic. So, you're going to take no responsibility because you take no glory. If all the glory goes to Him, why have we bought into the fact that it's our responsibility? And are we saying that He is strong enough and powerful enough to bring those people to work alongside of us, but He's not strong and powerful enough to look after them or to correct them? And you know why? When He's not? He's not strong enough when we evict Him by saying, I'm in charge here, I'm going to look after this. Then He steps back because we've said, you're not invited into this realm. But when we go, this is my constant conversation with Him. So there's this and this and this and this. What are you going to do about it? Because your problem. Because it's not my problem. I never tried to build this in the first place. Like, I started doing what I was doing just so I could hear His voice and do what He's asking me to do. All this other stuff's a byproduct. I never set out for this. So this is everything He's doing. It's His thing. So therefore, I give Him all the glory. But He also takes all the flack. Because I just think that's a fair deal. Okay? So it's just the freedom that actually we're supposed to function in. But we've been tied up in knots because we've been disempowered from having that freedom. So we take responsibility for everything, but we have no authority for anything. And how does that work? Anyway, so we've got this team, okay? Now you've got somebody who's doing all sorts of weird and wonderful things around that. Okay. So, the very worst thing to do is to make them feel inept or inadequate. The very best thing to do is to make them feel loved and supported. When you have an environment that the Holy Spirit is in charge of, it is phenomenal what happens. Because He polices that environment and He doesn't even need to use the bench of three. Because what we're saying is we're accountable one to another. So I am not saying there's no accountability. I'm saying there's no responsibility. And in that environment, there has to be a freedom where anybody can challenge anybody. Because as a bench of three, who's supposed to know better, if somebody on your team can't challenge you when you're supposed to know better, What gives you the right to challenge them when they're not supposed to know better? We've got to move away from this hierarchical structure. So as a bench of three, we are underneath to empower, to pick up the pieces and actually contain the fallout. But you know yourself, you will learn something the first time you make a mistake. You might have to read that thing 100 times in a book before it actually penetrates. Yeah. You only have to make the mistake once. Yeah. So the best way to teach people anything is let them make a mistake and be there to pick up the pieces. And the way that you keep the doors closed is, once again, how you deal with the situation.
Yeah. So about if you don't give people responsibility, then maturity is impossible.
Absolutely.
And that's being the problem with the past paradigm, in that that structure doesn't allow people to mature because they have no responsibility.
Yeah, or authority.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yes. So it's here, and then the others build on it.
Yes.
From the top to the down, it's from the bottom up.
Yeah. So you look at Jesus, he came to serve. That's our model of leadership. He came to serve. So let's look at this as a reality. If you're wanting to run something, you need to be prepared to do all the things that nobody else wants to do. It's not about cherry picking the things you fancy, and then whatever's left, you know, the rest of the team can decide what they want. So the best place to live is to be constantly moving forward and pioneering stuff. And then you're opening awake for those behind you to move into. So everything that the Father asks us to do, I know that I have to birth and pioneer. In some way, okay? In some way. Even if it's just receiving the scroll and whatever. But very often, there's a practical outworking of that too. So what I'm telling you is that it is going to cost you to walk in your destiny. If you're wanting a biblical reference for that, have a look at Matthew 16. Salvation is free, but you will have to give up everything if you want what he's got for you. But it's also going to cost you. So what really, Marketplace Ministries was birthed in the marketplace in Totnes. And when I had that prophesied over me, I did not think market. I thought job. Cushy office. I'll prophesy over a few people. Evangelism in the marketplace. Yeah, I've been looking for a job. Really, nothing was coming my way because we'd moved down from London and the salaries in the Southwest were ridiculous. And so I was like, you think I'm going to get out of bed for that? I think not. So then this prophecy comes along, prophetic evangelism in the marketplace. I'm like, oh yes, that job is mine. I don't know where it is, but that job is mine. And Daddy knows I need a decent salary. Well, yes. 5 o'clock and -2 degrees in Totnes Market. That is not what I saw at all. But it's going to cost us to walk in what he has for us. Okay, so when it comes to building team, it's got to be about empowering others. It's got to be about making others believe they can do it. And if you don't believe in them, it doesn't matter what you say. Because once again, this is about opening and closing doors. Your mouth can be saying, you can do this, but actually you are closing that door in the spirit because inside you don't believe they can do it. So if you're wanting to build a team, you need to be able to start to look in the spirit and see the gold in people. Everybody can see the dirt. Don't look at the dirt. Find the gold. Pull the gold out. Because attached to the gold is their identity and their destiny. And the dirt is just there to muddy the way. Look past that. Because when you can see that, you can pull that out. And then you can open that door that they can't even open. Because they are not empowered to do that. But when you can see that, and you come into agreement with that in the spirit, it opens the way for them to step into it. You know that they're going to make mistakes because there's muck there. And you're going to love them. And you're going to help them clean up the muck. Because that's what it's about. But when we're building team, we've got to be empowering people. Okay? So then I just want, lastly, I want us to look at those that are called to build with us and those that are called to be distractions.
Distractions.
Or distractions. Sorry? Okay. So there are people who will come alongside of you who will say all the right things. I used to call them nuts, flakes, and fruitcakes. Primarily because when you've got a ministry that's kind of moving, it attracts the nuts, flakes, and fruitcakes. And
none of us, of course.
No. And I'm sure none of us even know any of these people. And they go from place to place to place to place. And there's no accountability, and there's no, you know, there's nothing. There's lots of brokenness. And actually what's happening is that they're coming with an agenda to hijack what you're doing. Okay. So it is really, really helpful to be able to see in the spirit. Guys, if you take nothing away from this weekend, take that. And I'm talking about, you know, as much as what Mike was saying about perceiving. Okay, so I've learned to see just by sheer determination. And when people call me a seer, I have to extend lots of grace. Because seers are born with that. And some people, by sheer determination, will open the seer realm. But it doesn't matter how you see or perceive. The issue is you need to be able to see these things. Okay, so I'll tell you a story. I love that God always gives you wow stories so that when you're teaching, you've got something that's a real definite, you know. So we were having a Sunday evening worship, and this guy walked through the door, and I just saw paedophile. So I had a solution. My normal solution was I pray them out. Like, oh, no, this is not where you're settling. Oh, no, this is my realm, closing all the doors, you're not going to be here. And the Lord says, you can't do that. It's like, he said, you can see. If you send him somewhere else, they can't see. You have two choices. Or he has two choices. He can work with you and get clear, or you're going to release exposure. Those are the two choices. So, at the end of the evening, I went over to him and I just said, hi, you know, my name's Lindy. And I'd love to chat with you sometime. I said, I can see in the spirit realm. I can see stuff in your life. And I want to tell you, you can be free. But you have two choices. You can either be free, or the Father's going to make another way. I said, I am a bit in your face, as Mike said. I thought that was very, very gently put, actually, compared to what I could have said. But anyway, and I said, and I'm not going to talk about it now because it's an inappropriate space. However, phone me anytime this week. Here's my phone number. Phone the office anytime this week, and I will make a space to see you. Never saw him again. 2 weeks later, the Lord said, I want you to go in the spirit, and I want you to release exposure. It was about 6 months later, I read about it in the newspaper. So the point I'm trying to make is that we need to be able to see what people's agenda is in coming to join us. Now, in that instance, it was an extreme situation, okay? Where you've got people who just want to bring their agenda in, you've got to manage that well, and you've got to manage that from the perspective of keeping the doors closed, but keeping them whole. Okay, and we can't do that when we carry brokenness. Okay, so let's look at betrayal. Okay, so if you are somebody who has experienced intense betrayal, unless you deal with that thing, you will be suspicious of everybody that you're called to work with, and you'll be looking for the telltale signs of that in every instance. So if you are wanting to function as a mature son, healing and restoration has got to be the beginning. You've got to deal with your stuff. We've got to deal with our stuff. So I've been on a journey, 25 years I've been on an inner healing journey. And I always find it fascinating when we run healing retreats. And I always find it fascinating when people come and they sit, you know, they've booked a 3-day retreat or a 4-day retreat, and you know, you're starting the first day and you're starting with sessions and you're looking at this and think, oh no, I've dealt with that. Oh no, I've dealt with that. No, I've dealt with that. And nothing. Like, okay, so I don't know you from Adam. Never seen you before. How do I know that? Do you think the Holy Spirit just wants to remind you that you dealt with that once before? We are never whole until we look like Jesus. The day that somebody comes up to you and goes and asks you if you're Jesus, that's the end of your inner healing journey. Until then, we've all got stuff to deal with. So a friend of mine I was telling Letitia at lunchtime, a friend of mine had an experience. He's American. Him and his son went to the shopping center one day, and he had these people running up to him and grabbing him and saying, where have you been? Where have you been? Please stay. Don't go. Don't forget me. Come back. You know, all this kind of stuff. And he was like, he didn't know any of these people. And after the woman at the checkout, as he was leaving, she went, please come back for me. Please come back for me. So they get in the car. He says to his son, what's going on? And his son goes, Dad, you look like Jesus. They think you're Jesus. So, you know what happens is that God gives those sovereign things to give us a hunger. That's where we're destined, guys. That's what co-heirship looks like. Where we are him. Because he is in us and we are in him. And we co-heir with him. And people recognize him in us. And whilst we're still nurturing our offense and our irritation and our woundedness and our unforgiveness and our grudges and our misplaced authority or my, you know, on and on and on, we can't look like him. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to do a little activation session where we're going to deal with some stuff. If you guys are not avid soakers, why? Most of my inner healing happened like that, where I set aside, so I set aside half an hour every day, where I would just like, okay, this is your time. I'm not bringing anything. I'm just going to lie here. I'm going to let you do what you do. Most of my inner healing happened like that. But we need to function in that place. I've actually, 2 days ago, booked myself another inner healing session because the Lord brought something to mind. I've dealt with it as much as I can. And now I'm like, okay, guys, we need to get this thing sorted. Because the interesting thing is that grace covers it until it's exposed, and then it's rebellion. So if you know that you've got stuff that's undealt with in your life and you're not dealing with it, I am not going to sugarcoat this, guys. You're in rebellion. And rebellion is as witchcraft. So you can just look at that as a door of what it's doing into whatever it is you're trying to facilitate. So let's allow the Holy Spirit to come and do whatever he wants to do. Father, we love you. Jesus, we adore you. And Holy Spirit, we are lost without you. We recognize, Jesus, that you paid the fullest price for everything of who we are. We have no rights. Our only right is obedience. And Father, we want it all. Not the all of what we want, but the all of what we agreed with you before the foundation of the earth. The all that is written on our scroll. And we recognize that there will have been many strategies assigned to distort our identity so that we cannot fulfill that which we agreed. So Holy Spirit, I ask that you just show us what it is that you want to deal with right now. And Father, we recognize that that sin that you are pointing out is an open door. And we want to close that door. So Father, we bring that for you. We step into the throne room and we place that on the altar. Together with that, we place every emotion, every pain, every distortion of who we are because of the way that we outworked that sin. Father, we repent of every judgment. And we forgive and we release. Father, your word says that we can come before your throne of grace to receive what we need. So as you're standing before that throne of grace, I want you to reach into your life and I want you to pull out that thing which you are disposing of today. You reach into your life and you pull it out and you place it on that throne of grace. And I want you to watch and see what happens to that thing as you place it on the throne. And there is always an exchange. So I want you to take from that throne of grace what is yours, what belongs to you. I want you to take it from that throne and I want you to release it into your life. is the exchange of the cross. I want you to recognize that because of that thing, your mindsets have been changed, your perceptions have been changed. You're possibly more suspicious or skeptical or cynical. So allow the Holy Spirit to minister into those mindsets, to remove skepticism, remove cynicism, remove suspicion. Where you built walls around your heart for protection, invite the Father in to pull down those walls. Because when He pulls down those walls around your heart, He embraces. He engulfs your heart with His heart. And He enables you to see beyond the pain. He enables you to see with His eyes. And as He's showing you how much He loves you, ask Him to show you what things you have done as a result of that pain that have impacted your destiny, that have closed doors for you that should be open. So as He shows you the things that you've done that have closed doors, ask Him what you should have done instead. Repent for acting out of pain. is so amazing about Jesus is he travels along the timeline and he brings justification just as though it didn't happen. So as he's bringing those memories to mind, allow him to travel along the timeline and reset the outcome. And as he resets the outcome, allow him to show you that he is opening doors in the spirit. And your job is to come into agreement with those doors. You don't need to know what they are. You don't need to know what to do. You just have to come into agreement with them and watch and see what happens in the coming days. And now I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to show you things where you've left the door open, where you haven't closed the door. And that may also be as a result of pain, fear of rejection, fear of man, a whole lot of things where you knew you should have closed the door, but you didn't feel you could because you carry some baggage in that area. So just place all that baggage on the altar. And where that open door has actually led to robbery. Close the door and allow the Holy Spirit to repatriate what belongs to you. I just see the Father wanting to release intense honor. Just allow him to release that honor that displaces the dishonor. Some of you guys have been so dishonored, and that in itself has just robbed you of things. So just allow him to release that honor. Allow yourself to believe how awesome you are. Because when you allow yourself to believe how awesome you are, those deposits of honor can come. But for as long as you're telling yourself you're not, even the Lord can't move past that. Because he won't contravene your will. To activate your will, to come into agreement with how awesome you are. And as you do that, that in itself closes the door to the dishonor. So some of you are getting some real deep stuff that the Holy Spirit's doing. Please don't rush. Please let him finish what he's doing. But we are going to take a break now for 15 minutes.